Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
And a new year calls for a new monthly segment on Joy Breakfast. Have you ever wondered what the effects of sitting has on your body, or whether you should do that snail mucin face mask you got for Christmas that Rach was telling us about?
Maybe you're just curious about whether the preservatives in your food are actually going to preserve your guts. Well, same. So we reached out to Dr. Kat, a recent radio training graduate with all the right qualifications to create the Joy Breakfast Health Science segment. Dr. Kat, welcome to Joy Breakfast.
Hello.
It's so great having you here. Now, we need to know exactly what got you interested in health science to begin with.
Well, I wanted to be a doctor, and my parents definitely wanted me to be a doctor, especially coming from like a family of medicos. And I disappointed them, but I became a different kind of doctor. So here
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, but just a doctor in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Break that down for me. So you're just not a medical doctor.
No.
You're
I've done a PhD.
In
immunology, so I know lots about the immune system.
So today we want to chat about skin and what we're actually putting onto our bodies. Where does your interest from skin stem actually come from, specifically?
Well, okay, so I heard you talking about preparing for Midsummer Carnival.
Yep.
And you need to be sun smart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Outdoors. And so slip, slop, slapping, that's so, so important in Australia. And it's important that we wear sunscreen when we're outside. But that's a big portion. 3%.
Oh, wow, okay. Different maths.
3% of people have an allergy to sunscreen.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and other skincare products. And so I am one of these people. And I only discovered that while I was studying. I had an allergic reaction to sunscreen, and I think a normal person would have just been like, oh no, I'm never touching that again. But as someone who studies the immune system, exactly. I was like, I study the immune system. I want to know why. And so I emailed the company.
Oh wow.
I won't say which company, but I emailed the company. I said, I'm an immunologist. I want to know about this. What are the ingredients? Because they don't have to print all of the ingredients.
Why? So that's a whole thing in itself.
I mean, I had anaphylaxis. Room to fit on the package.
Well, I had anaphylaxis recently, and you still, even on their websites, you can't get it. You actually have to contact them and get a like hand printed.
Yep.
So what kind of allergic reaction did you have?
It was a big, big, big rash all over my skin.
Yeah, so it was like something's very wrong.
Yeah, but not anaphylaxis. Like that's
That's a lot. Like that's full on.
Well, that's because really I ingested something that then I was, it was just a multivitamin. But hey, anyway, continuing on. So once you had your allergic reaction to the sunscreen, what did you find whilst researching the ingredients?
So I study a very special kind of immune cell. And that's kind of like very fundamental immunology. But looking at that list of ingredients, I did sort of like a spot the difference because I'd used other sunscreens from this company before and just kind of compared them and saw, oh, okay, there are three ingredients that are in this one that I haven't used before. Ooh. And one of them looked like it had sort of the right chemical shape or structure to activate or trigger the very immune cells that I was studying. It's a particular oil.
And so did you know that it had a different chemical structure just by reading its name, or you like had to full dive?
Could you imagine?
Okay.
I'm loving the sciencey investigation of this though. Like it's like Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, but, it's like detective work.
Like, yeah, I love it.
So no, I did have to look that up, but it did look like it had a similar shape to actually one of the oils that's in poison ivy and poison oak.
Wow.
Which, you know, is something that people touch and get allergies to or rashes to. So it was $5 to get a bottle of this particular oil from Amazon.
All right.
So I did. And I whacked it into an experiment and it activated those immune cells. So that kind of opened up this whole new project of there are oils in sunscreens and medicines and things that we're like putting on our bodies, we're ingesting, and people can be allergic to them. So I want to know why.
I just want to say your parents must be proud of the kind of doctor you are, because this is crazy interesting and I love that you did that deep dive.
Thank you. I hope so.
Speaking of things that we put on our bodies, I got a snail mucin mask for Christmas. So when we come back, I'm going to find out whether or not it should or should not be going on my face.
I'm going to say no just straight away because it sounds so weird.
It's 14 minutes past 8. You're on Joy Breakfast. And we are on Joy Breakfast with Dr. Kat, our new health science doctor. And we're talking all things skin today. And I got a face mask for Christmas. It's snail mucin is what it says on its package.
Sounds gross. It sounds so gross.
It does sound gross. But it's coming in a packet. How do I know if the face masks that I'm using on my face are going to be safe or not?
Well, in terms of whether or not they'll be safe, they likely are safe. Whether it's safe for you is a different question because, you know, I was allergic to sunscreen, right? Yeah. Like we can all have different responses to different things, and the immune system is so, so complicated that, you know, it's impossible to say a blanket kind of safe or not safe in terms of allergies. But if you think about it, all the sorts of products that are sold, so many of them have to go through testing and they go through regulation with the Therapeutics Goods Administration. So it's likely that there isn't going to be something that's, you know, drastically bad.
In all of these products, they have so many ingredients, right? Mm-hmm. How much of the, like, snail mucin do you think would actually be in a product like that?
I have absolutely no idea.
No? You don't know? Oh, all right. That's interesting.
I mean, it is also interesting when you think about a face mask or all of these different things. You know, you never quite know what's in it. Mm. You know, what is it? Is it an extract? Is it something more? Yeah. And when you think about it, we're just starting talking about sunscreen. We've moved into, like, relaxation and body. Over the course of our life, we put so many different things on our skin.
We do.
So many different chemicals. We don't even think about what we do. We get, like, you know, you've got pimples as a kid. You know, you think, oh, this one will do or that one will do, without any thought to it being a different kind of product in a different way and affecting your skin or body in a different way.
Yeah. And so that's why I think, you know, understanding a little bit more about the science is helpful, and like knowing where to look if you wanted to look it up. Like I did a quick snail mucin mask. Like what does it actually
do?
That?
Because it sounds gross.
Yes. Thanks, Google. Well, you know, whether or not you should use it, there is one lab study that says it can help reduce acne because it helps combat the bacteria that I do want to talk about a little bit later, but some bacteria that can contribute to acne.
There you go. Well, let's get into
let's
that.
Let's do it.
Then.
You're wearing a bacteria dress. We're going to have to take a picture to put on the Joy Breakfast socials. Awesome bacteria dress because we've got to talk about the bacteria on our skin.
I'm going to call it science drag here in the studio in a full-on bacterial dress. Now, acne treatments, new science behind it. Let us know what is happening there.
Well, I just want to know what your, like, do you have go-to solutions for acne?
When I was younger, I would use a lot of, like, the brand name acne stuff. And as I've gotten older, I just kind of get stuff to clean my skin more. I'm terrible with my skin. Like, I do drag and everything. I am terrible. I don't look after it in the right way in any way, shape, or form. It'll come back to haunt me, I'm sure.
I am the same.
In another way. But we all get pimples. We all get those kind of things. And I just kind of, that's when I'm really conscious of how oily my skin is. So I think about just soap and cleaning it.
I go for the simple tea tree oil for acne.
Yeah. Well, when we think of solutions, we don't usually think of bacteria as the solution. In fact,
no.
Like, a lot of people would think, oh, no, that's part of the problem. But a new...
So what you're saying already is cleaning is bad for you.
No, hang on. So a new international study led by researchers in Spain have shown that it is possible to manipulate bacteria that are already on our skin to help treat acne symptoms. So there is a little bit of manipulation involved. It's not just, oh, these bacteria are good for acne. So the bacteria are called Cutibacterium acnes. So as you can sort of imagine from the name, they are linked to acne. And they live on all of our skin. They're healthy.
We
already have them. Oh. They particularly live like deep in the follicles. So our skin is covered in hair follicles and they live sort of down there because they love sebum, that oily substance that we produce. And, you know, bacteria can sometimes get a bad rap, but these are good, you know. There are lots of bacteria that live on our skin and they keep us healthy. But if you have too much of these particular bacteria, then that can start to irritate your skin. You get like the red inflammation.
The healthy bacteria.
Yes. If you just have too much. So if you have too much sebum, that oil,
yeah,
that's what is linked to acne. But these bacteria, they use that for energy. They use it for nutrients. And so if you've got too much oil, they start to thrive. And so too much of it, it's all about a balance. Like healthy bacteria are good, but if you have too much of one or too little of the other, it's bad either way.
Yeah. So how do we figure out what that balance is?
Well,
that's the trick now.
Yeah. And again, everyone is so, so different. Mm. Like gut health and talking about microbes in gut health, it's a really big field because everyone is different. And so it's really tricky to say, oh, these particular bacteria are good or these particular bacteria are
and every,
so
yeah.
All right. So how do you combat if you've got too many of these bacteria? What's our combat method?
So usually what we try and do when we're thinking about acne treatment is unclog pores, because if the claws are unclogged, then sort of the bacteria don't have all of that oil to feast on. Also, antibiotics are a thing. Like it's next level though.
Wow.
And it's not necessarily the best because there are side effects given that you're not sort of particularly treating one specific bacteria.
Yeah, you're just throwing everything at it.
Yeah, exactly. And I talked about balance being healthy. So that's not always the best idea. So what if we could use these bacteria as part of the solution?
Mm.
So the researchers have manipulated them or engineered them to make a particular protein that reduces sebum. So you're reducing that amount of oil in the skin. And so instead of the bacteria now going nuts for it, they're helping like mop it all up. And so getting rid of that extra oil, less sebum, less acne, ideally. And they haven't particularly tested this like on humans yet, but they've used human cells and it seems to work for them. It works in mice, and we already know that these bacteria are healthy on our skin anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, really promising.
So in the big scheme of things, how long would it usually take for they've found the science for that to then become a product that people can buy?
It really depends. For this one, it might be a little bit more fast track because we already know that these bacteria are fine and people have actually put them on the skin before. So as a sort of treatment, just not the engineered type.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of testing that. But they're also looking at using this to treat eczema as well, because if you think about the bacteria, they're like down in the pores in the hair follicles, and so they get like really good access to the skin. They're not just on the surface, they're deep down. So if we can engineer them to help combat eczema as well, that would be amazing, especially for me. I have eczema after my sunscreen allergy. I have eczema now.
My niece does as well, like it. Yeah. And it can be really frustrating. Yeah. And it's great. Yeah. So this is very cool, the science of it all.
Science is cool.
Totally.
Oh, Dr. Kat, thank you so much for enlightening us on all things skin this morning. After all, it is the biggest human organ, so we should probably look after it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be back in a month's time. We are already loving. We've already gotten a message in. Java said absolutely loving the new health science segment. And we are as well. And if you've got any sciencey questions, why not slide in to our DMs? Hit us up on Joy Breakfast on Instagram, at Joy Breakfast, and let us know so that we can put your questions out there and add more to our sciencey facts every month.
Woo. Science facts with Dr. Kat. Oh, that's going to be the name.
Done.
Thanks, Kat.
You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Jean.
Can take champagne to the grave. We all end up 6 feet under anyways.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.